Hey everyone, welcome to the Purdue podcast. We're really excited about the topic today. We are calling it, You Gotta Serve Somebody. There's an old song that says, you gotta serve somebody. It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. A lot of people just serve themselves.
Yeah.
And they make themselves to be Lord over everything in their life. And
it is
a hard road, and it's anti-peace, anti-Christian, really. Jesus has to be Lord, but everyone is serving somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And even some believers, they're really serving themselves. They're not really serving God ultimately. You know, God actually gave me this word just recently, just dropped into my heart, and it really, I've been chewing on it a lot because I haven't heard a lot of teaching on it, but he just told me stewardship versus ownership. Mm. And I chewed on it a little bit to kind of make sense of it. And I spoke about it at a church service for offering. I take up the offering here at church. And I really ministered to a lot of people talking about stewardship versus ownership and really how we should treat a lot of things in life as stewards, which means it's not yours.
Yeah.
It belongs to someone else. And in the Bible, there's a lot of parables of stewards. And Jesus, there's several parables that deal with stewards. And there's always a master, an owner, and God or Jesus is always the master, the owner. Like, we are never that person. We are always a steward, whether it be an unfaithful steward, an unjust steward, a wicked and lazy steward. We're always the steward. So we have to have the mindset of a steward, and that's really important because we want to be that good and faithful servant, that good and faithful, you know, you do a good job with what we've been given, take responsibility, care about it, you know, and do it in service to the Lord.
Yeah.
But that's really been just ministering a lot to me because especially as a musician, you know, I have a background in classical music. When people pour, you know, I used to practice 3 hours a day on the flute, like starting in high school. So I, for 20 years, I'd practice 3 hours a day, you know, put a lot of hard work, effort, you know, money, time into this craft.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are very dedicated to something, it becomes almost a part of your, it can become part of your identity. And you think,
yeah,
this is my gifting. This is my voice. This is my talent. This is my, and, but really that type of mentality, it leads to pride
too.
And yeah, it makes it harder to work with in a team setting. And even in ministry, I've seen people too, they get more and more responsibility, but they start thinking, this is my, you know, this is my youth ministry. This is my worship ministry. This is my...
Everything's mine. Well, I like what you said yesterday when you said the good thing about being a steward and looking at things like you're stewarding them is that when problems arise, it's not your problem.
Yeah, it's the owner's problem.
Yeah.
It's God's problem.
Yeah, I love that.
And that's helped me too because... you know, in life, mm-hmm. in ministry, and working with people, you know, ministry is, it's 100% people. And I love people. It's why I do it. But like,
yeah,
you're going to face people problems.
Hard times, yeah.
And, you know, people problems, it's a special kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you think, well, this is really God's problem, you know, like.
Yeah, like he's going to take care of
it. Yeah, maybe I really try to raise someone up, invest a lot into them, and they just.
Leave.
Left and kind of left you in a lurch. Well, God, this is your problem. You know,
yeah.
I really need a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I poured a lot into this person. They left. And, God, this is your team.
Mm-hmm.
This is your band. This is your, you know.
Yeah, well, like even the financial side of ministry, it costs a lot to run this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it just takes all the pressure off.
You're
like, well, if God called me to do it, this is actually his ministry. I'm doing this for him. I'm just being his steward while I'm here. And if I need finances, they'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's his problem, not
and,
my problem.
And relational, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people in relationships, they start feeling like they own somebody. Like,
oh,
I own my children. I own my spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And those relationships are incredibly important, especially the husband and wife relationship or parent and child. They're incredibly important, incredibly sacred.
Mm-hmm.
But a better mindset than saying like, this is my wife, I own you, you know, you're my property.
Yeah.
I've even seen, you know, back in the day there'd be like t-shirts you could buy your girlfriend or whatever, it'd be like property of.
Oh geez.
Have you ever seen those?
Yes.
And it's a terrible mindset. Like,
I hope nobody watching has one of those.
And it's kind of a joke, but
that's gross. Yeah. I'm sorry. I know that's a joke.
For Valentine's Day,
if you have
I'm
sorry, but it's gross.
Get you a property of Pastor Aaron.
Oh my God.
Shirt.
That is trash.
It's very cringy.
What's the scripture say?
So the scripture,
let's see what the scripture says.
So this mindset of a steward versus an owner, it's huge, and it applies to a lot of things.
Yeah, it does.
I think we could start with finances.
Okay, let's start there.
Because a lot of you don't want money to be your lord. We're talking about you got to serve somebody. If you're serving money,
that's a bad. Don't be.
It makes a terrible lord.
Yeah.
We're to steward it, and to have the mindset. Hey, my job, my savings, my investments. These things are really, they belong to God.
Yeah.
I'm stewarding them. I'm growing them. I'm increasing. But it's not just for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to make my own little kingdom. It's because I'm trying to ultimately advance God's kingdom and take care of my family, which is very biblical. That's part of the kingdom is taking care of your family. So God really showed me this stewardship versus ownership thing in Deuteronomy 8.
I think once people start recognizing themselves as a steward and not an owner, it's going to set them free.
Yeah. And then when there is a setback, it's not, you don't have to like fall apart either.
Yeah.
Because God, it's yours.
Yeah.
And you're going to help.
Yes.
You're going to help defend me. You're going to help promote me. You're going to help turn things around in the financial arena too. So, And sometimes the danger is the more promotion you get, sometimes you start thinking it's my talent, it's my ability, it's I'm gonna be the ruler, I'm gonna be the lord over this,
Or you're in charge of having to keep up the momentum.
Yeah,
which is tiring.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you get more and more responsibility, more to
and you do
steward, and
the
you
thing
do.
Is, yeah, and some people are good stewards. And they don't even realize that they're good stewards, and then they get promotion, and then they get put over more, and then they kind of start freaking out a little bit.
And that's also like a biblical principle. Like, if you're faithful over that which is little, you'll be given more.
Yeah, like they start out faithful and a good steward, and then once more promotion comes, they kind of switch tracks a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they start feeling the weight.
You know, something God even showed me through this week of this word he gave me, stewardship versus ownership, is people have actually come against my reputation. And you think, well, it's my name. It's my reputation. But God said, no, your name doesn't mean anything. Your reputation doesn't mean anything. I'm the one.
Yeah.
It's my name, the name of Jesus.
Respectfully,
is the one.
Your name means
nothing. So who cares if people trash your name? And
the
more influence you have, especially in ministry, the more you're going to get trashed.
Yeah. And you know what's so ironic about that is that you literally said that to me.
I know. I remember this.
Out loud. This is the power of your words and who is listening to your words. You actually said this to me out loud.
That my name and my reputation.
Yeah.
Is worth more to me than our house, our million-dollar house.
You're like, it's worth more to me. I mean, lower than Jesus.
Well, there's
right?
even a proverb that talks about that, like a man's name is worth more than
great
treasures.
Yeah, and you said that, and it was almost like the devil heard that, and he was like,
I'm gonna find a.
We'll see how it makes him feel when I try to drag his name through the mud.
Yeah, someone who.
Yeah.
And
but you prevailed.
Yeah, but
God.
It was hard. But God showed me, hey. If you're going to do more for me, there's going to be more of that.
Yeah.
There's going to be more people who just try to slander you.
Persecute you. Persecute you, put you down, gossip, and all the things.
It's really true. But it's not your name.
It's not your name. So that's your God's name. Problem, right?
And God will defend you, too.
Yeah, he will.
Because God cares about you. He cares about his stewards. He cares about his servants. And he's, I'm accountable to him. You know? And the good thing about being accountable to him, because he is my Lord. He's the one I serve, is that He defends his servants.
He does.
He stands up for his servants. He pays
protects
back.
Them.
He rewards his servants. So finances.
Okay.
Are they yours or are they ultimately God's? Deuteronomy 8, we'll start in verse 11. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. This is right before the Israelites were going into the promised land. So they had been in the wilderness for 40 years. had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and they're about ready to get major, major promotion. Mm-hmm. So this is Moses' last, Deuteronomy is his last sermon, his last word to the people of Israel before he went to heaven. And he says, do not forget the Lord your God. So sometimes when things are so good, and that's kind of the problem with Christianity in America, like a lot of people have it so good.
Yeah.
They don't think they need a savior.
Yeah.
They've forgotten the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's in God we trust, not in ourselves and our,
yeah,
you know. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you've eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. Talk about incredible blessing.
Yeah.
Where everything that you have is multiplied. It says, when your heart is lifted up, it's all about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to serve somebody. Who is the Lord over your heart,
mm-hmm,
over your desires? When your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents, scorpions, thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. He fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you, that he might test you to do you good in the end. You know, a lot of us have been through different trials and tests and, you know, have you remained faithful? And then when that promotion comes, don't forget God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people find it easier to come to God, trust God, serve God in a wilderness period.
Yeah.
But God wants to take you through the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come into a place of blessing, of promotion, of promised land, keep serving God above yourself,
yeah,
above other people, above the enemy. It says this, it says, when he does good to you in the end, don't say this in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. He wants us to remember that he gives us the power to get wealth.
Yeah.
He's the one that gives you that power, that ability, that promotion, that those skills, those open doors. He's the one that gives us the power to get wealth. And it's not just to make us feel like, man, I'm so awesome. Look at me. I'm going to be a ruler over my own little kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why God blesses us, and this is the reason why we should believe in the blessing and believe in promotion and even wealth, and that offends some people, but if it's for yourself, to mm-hmm serve yourself, it's bad, but God wants to bless us and to give us wealth that he may establish his covenant. It's about his covenant.
Yeah.
It's and to think that this is how he establishes his covenant, through blessing,
mm-hmm,
through promises that are established, through increase, through multiplication. And that's how he establishes his covenant. That's how the gospel is preached, by sending out,
mm-hmm,
you know, ministers, by sending out materials, by that. It takes wealth to do that.
Yeah, it does.
And ministries that do it in a big way, it takes finances, it takes talent, it takes, you know, people,
mm-hmm,
to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that is how God establishes his covenant. That's wild to think about.
It is, yeah.
So
that's why there's such an attack on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's why people say, you know, no, you should be humble and meek and poor and all these things. And you can't do anything, mm-hmm, with lack.
Yeah.
You can't do anything with lack.
So you have to have that mindset of a steward. And that's, yeah, why giving keeps you in that place of, hey, it's not about me. If it's about me, you're going to keep everything.
Yeah, you are.
Mm-hmm. So stewardship versus ownership. And I was thinking about, there's a lot of scriptures that kind of go along this,
mm-hmm,
and talk about it. Like, I love that. The Bible says, you know, that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in the country. My dad had cattle. At one point, he had 3,000 cattle. And I remember having to, like, brand them and doctor them and, you know, feed them in our feedlot. We had a 500-head feedlot next to our house. And like, to think, you know, you're working. And I didn't own those cows myself.
Yeah.
You know, I was helping my dad, and as I got a little bit older, he'd be gone on a trip, and it was up to me to really be that steward that kept them alive and in the pens, you know, from breaking out and stuff. But God's the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills, which is so cool to think about. God also showed me about relationships. This is really key because a lot of people in relationships feel like they own people. They get jealous, like even in friendships. Like, how could you have another, like, oh my gosh, your best friend? You know, maybe that's more of a girl thing. It could be a guy thing too. Yeah. But this is really good. I want to read from Psalm 127. Man, such an awesome psalm. It says here, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it.
Yeah.
And whatever you're trying to build, you know, a family, a business, a ministry, you know, a community of people, whatever you're trying to build, if the Lord's not involved, if he's not the Lord over it, if Jesus isn't in it, if it's not for him, you know, they labor in vain who build it.
Yeah.
It says, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. You know, that's about, you know, when you're a steward, God owns that city. So he's the one that ultimately protects it. So, but if he's not, if you don't want his involvement, you know, what are you even trying to protect?
Yeah.
Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. That's kind of what happens when just you feel like you're Lord over everything. You got to control everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if something's off, man, you're going to lose sleep over it.
Yeah.
But if you're like, hey, it's a lot of these things, you know, my finances, my family, my job, my own life, my own health. God, I'm going to steward these things. I'm going to take responsibility and care for.
Yeah.
But hey, it all ultimately belongs to you because you are my Lord. Then you can go to sleep at night. Behold, it says, man, verse 3 is awesome. Children are a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. So I want to talk about kind of two primary relationships. And this applies to everyone. So if you're like young and single, not married, don't have kids, you can still think about this, you know, with your own parents that you're to honor.
Yeah.
That, hey, they might be tough people to honor sometimes, but God gave me these parents. So even though it might be hard for me to honor them, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord. Maybe it's a job, like my boss. You know, I'm going to steward that relationship. It might, you know, it might be friendships that God's given you. It helps take a lot of the pressure off these things. But I want to talk about the husband and wife relationship and just how that ownership mindset's a terrible mindset to have. And it even goes back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Part of the curse that came upon humanity was, you know, there was a curse that was directed towards Eve, towards the woman. And it says in Genesis 3:16, God spoke to the woman Eve and said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. That's that kind of ownership thing. He's going to own you.
Yeah.
And you know, that curse has actually been done away with. Jesus redeemed humanity from that curse. And now, and Jesus lifted up women everywhere. Wherever and wherever Christianity has flourished, women have flourished.
Yeah.
Period. You know, it's a very woke, very secular, progressive type of mindset that thinks Christianity is out to slam women, put women down.
Well, it stems from legalism, really. Yeah. And this proves it.
Yeah. I love something that the Bible says. It says that husbands are to, you know, dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. The husband and wife relationship, the curse relationship was, hey, he's going to rule over you. He's going to own you.
Yeah.
But that's been done away with. So now you're co-heirs together. You know, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ together. You work at life together. You live this life for Jesus together because mm-hmm. he's the Lord over your marriage.
Yeah.
And even the word submit is not an ownership type word. It means you're going to come on. Submission means to come under that mission.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work together. Yeah. You're going to be on the same team.
I like what you always have to say when you bring this up. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should touch on that.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned it before, but maybe people are watching this. Yeah,
dwell with them with understanding. It doesn't mean you have to
understand
yeah. and try to figure out how to solve all of your and wife's problems and reason. It just means have an understanding heart.
Yeah.
Just be understanding.
Yeah.
And you can't always understand
people. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter if you're married to them or if it's your child. You're not always going to understand why people
but
are the
be
way
understanding.
That they are. But just be understanding. Be loving towards them.
And giving honor to the wife. That means giving honor. The Greek word for honor means to set a value to.
Yeah.
So by giving honor, you're actually raising someone's value.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to honor someone, if you want to honor, you know, your pastor, honor your boss, honor, you know, a neighbor, that means to increase their value.
Mm-hmm.
That means to make them feel more valuable, more useful, more special.
I have a funny, this is kind of funny, kind of sad. But I was looking through my Google photos from, like, there's a trend going around right now where you share a picture of you in 2016 and then share a picture of you in 2026 and kind of compare the two. And so I was looking through pictures of me in 2016. And, you know, that was before my first husband passed away. But I looked like a wreck. And you guys better not cut this and make it into a reel. I'm going to get you. But this is one only for the people that are watching this story. So I was looking through this video. I was looking through these pictures, and I found myself in 2016. And people that have already, if you're familiar with us, you kind of already know a little bit of my backstory. But when I was married before, we did not really have a good marriage. And a lot of it was both of us. I'm not going to put the blame on him, or I'm not going to take all the blame. But we just had no idea what we were doing. We're ignorant. But I looked like a wreck, and I was like, golly, why do I look so bad? I look so much better now, and this is like 10 years ago. I was in my I was 30. I should have looked way better. And I felt like the Lord told me it's because your husband sets a value to you. Your husband actually makes you look better because he values you more. He makes you feel pretty. He makes you feel, you know, understood and loved and valued. And that really shows up on the outside of us. Mm-hmm. Because how we feel on the inside is going to be portrayed on the outside, whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you can get all the Botox you want. You can get your skin pulled out up all you want. You can get things cut off all you want. But if you don't feel valued on the inside, if you don't find your value in God and how God values you, if your spouse doesn't value it, it really does show up on the outside.
Yeah. And man, having this steward, this is such a huge word.
It is.
Being a steward versus an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And as a husband, I don't own you, my wife, but I'm like, it's a sacred role. It's like one of the most important relationships.
It is. It's very important.
In humanity.
Yeah.
In this life.
Yeah.
On
it
earth.
Really is. It really is.
I mean, right from the beginning, God gave, you know, Eve to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a sacred thing. And, you know, Jesus, you know, points to that, you know, holiness of that union too, just mm-hmm. saying, you know, what God has joined, God has joined. God has made this union happen.
Yeah.
Like, don't let man tear it apart.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that's like, saying divorce is out of the question.
No. But you know what? Sometimes I'm going to just speak to the men for a minute. Mm-hmm. If your wife is having a hard time and she's all the time in her sweats and her doesn't fix her hair, doesn't get up in the morning, doesn't do her makeup, and you're just giving her a hard time all the time, maybe you should try to start setting a value to your wife. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should start lifting her up. And maybe you didn't know any better. Maybe you did. But, you know, like, I really feel like the way that you have treated me, the way that you have loved me and valued me has really helped me. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I know it. I know it's true. And there's not a lot of times in marriages, people don't give. They don't give at all. They just take.
Well, give honor.
They don't give honor. Yeah, either way. And at some point, one of the parties, sometimes they're both, neither one of them are giving honor. Mm-hmm. But at some point, if you want it to work, one of you has to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and with in a relationship, when it's ultimately, you realize there's a kingdom purpose to it.
Yes.
Like, hey, this isn't my marriage.
Yes.
This belongs to God.
Yeah.
Man, it's such a huge freeing thing. Even with your own health. Like, some people get so obsessed with their health and all the supplements and all the things. You can go so far down that rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. But hey, if you're like, hey, my body is not my own.
Yeah.
It belongs to the Lord. Yeah. I'm going to steward it.
Yeah. I'm going to do the best that I can.
I'm not going to, I'm not the Lord over my own body.
That's
so even
right.
if I feel like eating a gallon of ice cream, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
You know, and when I was younger, I might, you know, go down that crazy black diamond skiing thing and, you know, maybe I live, maybe I don't. But now my body isn't my own. Like, it belongs to God. But also my body is needed to take care of my wife and kids. So maybe I'll go down, I'm not going to be as crazy and as risk taking. You know, I'm not going to go jump out of an airplane and. Maybe the parachute works, maybe it doesn't.
Oh my gosh.
And maybe you're just more into those things, which can be fine too. But
that's out of your wheelhouse.
I'm more like, you know, if I'm going to jump out of a plane, I'm going to ask you.
Yeah.
Because my body is not my own.
Yeah.
Like, hey, do you mind if I go jump out of an airplane tomorrow? Like, you maybe say no. I don't know. I don't really desire to do that. I've talked about getting a motorcycle and you're like, no.
Yeah. We're not doing that.
Yeah.
Colorado Springs is nuts.
Yeah.
And the driving. The driving situation is nuts.
Yeah, but, and again, it's to steward.
Yeah. And we're not talking about, I feel like I should just say this again, like in marriages, we're not talking about abuse. Like,
no.
We're setting that aside. We're talking about like healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Like if you're being abused.
You know,
get out of that.
That ownership. You know, we talked about you got to serve somebody.
Yeah.
As long as it might be the devil, it might be the Lord. You know, the world wants you to serve yourself.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
My body.
Yeah.
My choice. Mm-hmm. I am God over this and over everything inside of it. I am God.
It's terrible.
Every Christian should honestly hate that slogan.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You are not your own.
You're not your own.
Your body is not your own.
Why? For you were bought.
You were bought at a price.
Therefore, glorify God.
So that statement, my body, my choice,
it's anti-Christ.
Christians
really.
Can't say it.
No.
If you believe in redemption, if you believe that the blood was shed for you, to say, well, it's my body, it's my choice. It's to speak against the blood of Christ. It's to speak against his sacrifice.
Mm.
You know, really, and your body and everything inside of it, every organ, every cell. And by the way, you know, if you're pregnant, those cells, they have their own unique
DNA.
That's why life begins at conception, because that's when that unique DNA exists.
Formed, yeah.
You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Mm.
So it's not, it's...
That's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
There's no gray area in that.
Yeah, it really is. And just Jesus, you know, I know like stewardship is kind of like an old...
It sounds kind of like an old term. Yeah.
And again, you don't hear it taught on a whole lot. But stewardship just means you're not the owner.
Yeah.
But you're to take care of things. You have responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not the owner of my finances, but I'm to steward them.
Yeah.
I'm to grow them, multiply them, give, you know, my family. I don't own my family. I don't own my children. This mindset, my parents actually have taught this for years. They're great parents. You know, me and my two younger brothers just done really well in life. Career wise, you know, family wise, they always believed that we ultimately belong to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like we didn't belong, they didn't own us. We, we belong to God, and it was up to them to find out what our giftings were and to steward us and those giftings that God placed in us.
Mm-hmm.
So we all had very different giftings. Like I was into music, playing the flute. My brothers were really good at sports and academics, but they helped grow those giftings in us. And they were doing it for the Lord.
Like, yeah.
And you know, we would, you know, live lives to honor God.
Yeah.
And we all do. But that's helped me as a parent too. You know, like when I met you,
mm-hmm.
you had little Fisher whose dad had passed away a year before. He was just 4 years old. And then when we got married, God just, you know, he's my son.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, after we got married, we had Ada, but I don't see that they're both equal in my eyes
yeah.
as children. And it's because both of them ultimately belong to God.
Yeah.
And I'm here to steward them.
Yeah.
To raise them, to be a father to them.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately they belong to God.
Yeah.
Like they aren't orphans. You know, God's their primary father.
Yeah.
And I'm here to do what I can in this really sacred role.
Yeah.
To both of them.
It's important. And, you know, it takes the stress away because when every child is so different mm-hmm. and unique.
Yeah.
And you think you know how to raise one and then you have another one and they're completely different. And mm-hmm. you have a tendency to want to get a little stressed out. But if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you can pray and you can ask the Lord and you can say, God, these are your kids. Mm-hmm. You designed them. So Holy Spirit, show me how to point them in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, even discipline, the same type of discipline that might have worked for one is not going to work for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just wild how different. But to me, I think that's what makes life so fun.
Mm-hmm.
That just being led by the Spirit, being led by God, you know?
That's really good. Yeah, I feel like this is going to help a lot of people. It's helped me a lot, too, in my role as a pastor and just different ministries that I oversee. Like, we do the youth ministry together. I oversee the worship ministry.
Because this is in every
but I don't,
level
I don't, I don't own.
Of life. This is in every level of life. I've noticed, like, it doesn't matter. Like, I could be leading the student leaders in the youth group, you know, and you got one that's, like, more high-performing and tendency to think, oh, this is mine, you know. Like, it's at every single level. So me as a leader, it helps me look at the people that I'm supposed to steward and I'm supposed to lead and not get in the wrong mindset towards them. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I wish they'd just grow up, you know. Mm-hmm. No, it's something that we all have to deal with. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural thing. This is just a test that God wants us to pass so that he can get more promotion, more things in our hands to do for him.
So he can establish his covenant.
Yeah. Isn't that so good?
Yeah.
To think about?
Yeah.
Like, it really helps you change your mindset towards people
mm-hmm.
as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Just to love them better, to mm-hmm. treat them better, to honor them better, mm-hmm. and to help guide them better, you know?
So you got to serve somebody.
You got to serve somebody. Better be the Lord.
You don't want to serve yourself.
Don't serve the devil, for sure.
You make a terrible Lord, even mm-hmm. for yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you serve God, you're going to be a lot happier than serving the devil.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot more peace.
Or serving yourself.
You're going to have a lot more peace, yeah.
Or serving some anti-God agenda.
Yeah. Well, this was awesome.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was good.
Hey, if you're blessed by this podcast, you need to subscribe to this channel. And YouTube is also going to select some other episodes that it thinks that you might like. So why don't you watch one of those? And if you're local here to Colorado Springs, or if you're here visiting, we would love for you to stop by Caris Christian Center on a Sunday or a Wednesday. We want to meet you. And I think this church is amazing.
Leave us some positive comments.
Yeah,
too.
Positive would be good. We get some negative ones from time to time.
When you preach truth, that happens.
I know. But you know what? If this blessed you, please comment. We want to know. We want to talk to you and see you. And it really blesses us when you guys comment and reach out.
Awesome. We'll see you guys soon.